Folks, welcome to the show where sometimes you get cheated on and become God. Welcome back to Trainwreck Rules. It is another season of Vanderpump Rules in the books. Last summer took the world, took the earth, took the media universe by storm, and now another season in the books. So let's get my compadre, the Tom to my Tom, in here. AQ, another season in the books for the Pump Crew.
That's it, man. Yeah, it's Pump is, I don't know if I just get caught up in this world of a social media echo chamber, but man, Pump is still all the rage, even after the blow up they had in popularity last year. People want more of it, man. I talk to more and more people who are into it. I was on the golf course the other day. Actually, the gentleman that I was golfing with knew of you. So kudos to you for being a local celebrity. And I was like, oh, I got a show with him. And we talk about Vanderpump Rules. And they're like, we watch it with our girlfriends. It's awesome. I was like, welcome to the crew. So it is taking the world by storm.
I mean, trash TV, it gets called that for a reason. But there's just something so good about it. And whether it was the arguing, whether it was the splintered relationships, whether it was the little grind outs like James and Allie at their house, or whether it was Schwartz trying to figure out what the hell he had going on. I was like, this season found its way along, despite, you know, some slow spots with the Sandoval redemption arc. But, you know, for this episode, it almost feels weird to review it. Didn't feel like much happened in this episode. They go on trolley ride. Next thing you know, they're at the event. Not much of the event. I mean, I'm curious your thoughts on this finale, like kind of as a standalone. Obviously, I think we thought the season was pretty solid overall, but curious as your thoughts on this finale as a standalone episode.
Well, so I think it's tough because prior to the last season, I think it was not, this season as a whole wasn't crazy dissimilar to many seasons of Vanderpump, where it just kind of went along and life was going along and nothing was like too crazy. And this episode specifically to me felt like a microcosm of the season where, like, one, I think the producers did a bit of a disservice to us in jumping on the hype that they had at the end of the year last year and the cheating and the affair and all that hype. And they built up all the trailers for this season and all the hype for the season that it was going to just be gangbusters. And it never really felt like it got to that. And we never got the full explosion that I felt like we were going to get. And so I think the producers maybe overhyped it. I'm sure you see a lot of that in the wrestling world where matches get a little overhyped and then you get to the match and it's like, okay, not the best. And so I think that happened a little bit, but this still solid, I think still holds up to the VPR brand.
Yeah, that does hold up to the VPR brand, I will say. And in the end, I mean, you know, we'll start at the finish line here and kind of get back to it. Sandoval redemption arc kind of becomes complete. It kind of completes itself to where a point where you have Lala and Sheena kind of being sympathetic. You have Schwartz is kind of in no man's land. He's always been on Team Tom. So, you know, he's happy to jump back in that clubhouse, but that foxhole. But it feels like the arc kind of, it felt like, you know, it's like in Seinfeld when George Costanza is like, you know, when I tell a joke, I'm just going to leave. You know, I'm going to leave on a high note. It felt like the producers all season were trying to push the Sandoval redemption arc. And then the second it happened at this random event, I mean, the Kyle Chan, like, or what was it, gold vodka or whatever. I don't even know what it was, but it felt like right when it happened, they're like, all right, that's the season finale right there. Now that I'm talking about it, that really feels like it was to me. I mean, what's your take on my take?
Well, all the people that sort of sympathized with Tom, I think we knew that was coming. It's been showing signs really all year. And at some point, Lala talks about like breaking down that fourth wall. But it was all stuff we felt like we knew about these people and the sides that they were taking and trying to skirt around the Ariana stuff. What's this tweet you pulled up saying here?
I feel like Sheena and Lala had not capitalized so much off of Scandal on their podcast and via the merch, the audience wouldn't be so upset. It's the whiplash, you leaving your friend in the dust right when this doesn't financially benefit you. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of accuracy there. True.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is coming no more than within the month of Apples coming out. Like, poor Sandoval. Sandoval was literally looking like Reek dancing to Apples, for sure.
Yeah, not
like, great. You know, like, just absolutely, like, whipped into that sense of being.
Yeah, and that's the ultimate struggle here. So when we get to the top five, I have a bunch of struggle and hypocrisy in it, because this show's full of hypocrisy, right? Like, if you rewind a year ago to the reunion of Lala just, like, killing Tom Sandoval, and then after that the podcast run that they all went on and going on, and they are capitalizing, they make a lot more money on their podcast than we make on ours, doing these things and to be guests and to spill tea and to do all that stuff. And that's probably the point that Tom made the best this season. Like, Tom won poo poo head of the night more than anybody for me, but he talked about it, like, all these people capitalized on his issues and his suffering and his public humiliation, where he just got trashed. He didn't get a chance to really capitalize on that. And then as soon as that has worn down here at this point in real life, during this, where we are in the season, started to kind of wear down, there isn't any benefit to being hating on Tom Sandoval anymore in terms of monetary, right? It's just, you actually have to be friends with Ariana. And I think it showed, that's really the fourth wall that got broken, is these people aren't really all the ways that good of friends, and that they are all here for work and it's part of the job and they have to do that. But also, Ariana would hit the nail on the head a bunch of times of being like, I'm the final boss in this Tom Sandoval redemption arc. And she knew the producers were trying to set this sort of up in this scenario to have her be part of this full redemption arc for him, and she didn't want any part of it. Right here, I'm the final boss in his video game of redemption.
I thought that was pretty meta or whatever. There was definitely some serious fourth wall breaking going on at the end of this episode, so I appreciated that from a production standpoint, etc. I mean, I love that there's just a team of like 10 to 15 producers around these people at all time. Like, how could you act genuine knowing that? But I mean, they say they do, they seem to do. Besides that, I mean, this episode, obviously, you get some James Alley progression. I don't even know, like where did Schwartz and Joe leave off? It doesn't feel like anything. I feel like I didn't learn anything there.
No. Yeah,
Katie
no.
And Schwartz are friends. Brock and Sheena, okay, are doing okay.
They're doing fine. Yeah, and so those were some of the, the producers, I think, did not a great job setting us up for this season, right? I thought the Tom, Katie, and the third girl thing was going to be a bigger storyline when we first got in the season, because they really hyped that up. That just kind of was a blip on the radar. The Brock and Sheena thing felt like that was maybe going to like end poorly this season, but actually they seem as good as ever, and Brock's got her back as much as he ever has, and he's being a good husband and doing all the right stuff. So that didn't really come to fruition. Tom and Katie seem fine, but it didn't like grow. At the end, she's kind of still yelling at him and giving him the ultimatums of like, look, you can't, don't bring Joe around. Like, and shout out to Joe for walking in. We said, you know, Tom convinced her to walk into the lion's den, and she was just a fresh piece of meat.
Kind of crazy
for Katie to just rip apart, man. That's kind of crazy. But good on her for doing that. So that was, you know, that got lost in here, and good on James for pulling Allie outside and explaining that he does prioritize Allie more than Hippie. I think that was a big one for him when he realized, like, man, that came off pretty poorly, that I prioritize my dog more than anything.
Well, it was a bad look. It was bad. I mean, you know, sometimes you get caught in your emotions, something acts crazy. No fault to James. I think he's done enough this season to legitimize, you know, everything he has going on, for sure. One end note, any other notes from you on the episode before I kind of go off on a tangent here?
Well, I just want to hear what your thoughts on Sheena's performance were.
Well, the performance was fucking horrible.
And they're all singing along like they actually like this.
I mean, Aaron, we've all done live stuff here, and I'm not saying I've done live with, you know, 30 people filming on a camera phone right in front of me. All at me. I give credit to that or whatever, but like a crew of multiple people coming to set up for this event, produce this event, be like, and for it to just come off like a sloppy, like old, like milkshake of like, you know, items like it was like a really old, like, you know, Blizzard, you know, that's just in the freezer or something. Like, it just came off very oddly. So, you know, again, yeah, I mean, of course, like, that was kind of the joke of like the season. Like, you literally began with Sheena being like, I'm so glad I can get back into music and like doing this, like, you know, I say this with respect because you never know when someone can become a superstar. Maybe Sheena will just become a superstar like tomorrow with another hit single or something. But, you know, the music was directly correlative to Scandoval. Correct. Like, it was because of the date. It was because of the timing. It was because it was on the show. People were getting re-exposed to it. So, I mean, go ahead. You know, I will never stop anyone listening.
Get that
people,
money.
People can point out that, you know, I'm doing, you know, fruitless efforts sometimes. So I will never, you know, shoot down anybody. But that's just my opinion. So for her to frame it like, you know, I've really refound my love of music just because she's getting supported on it so much.
Yeah,
because
she's
kind of disingenuous, of course. Yeah. Of course. Okay, so my tangent. The incident with Ariana and Scandoval, where like he kind of chases her off at the event, was like in like the season preview. It was in everything, and it ended up being a big nothing burger. It was literally just him trying to approach her. She never said like, it is against the law for you to approach me. It is against the law for you to, never said any of that stuff. Then he just tries to approach her at this event, and she literally storms off like it's like the worst thing that's ever happened. And again, it wasn't that bad. I know that she hates him. I get it. I saw the flashbacks. I saw all that. But, like, you know, I get why she hates him. You don't have to explain it. It's only 5 months after. Of course, of course. But, like, that was the straw that broke the camel's back in that situation.
Well, I took that as a couple things leading to it, right, was the super awkward him introducing himself to Dan and the tension there.
The tap on the side of the arm was fucking insane. The dude literally is outside of his brain.
Yeah, and she was like, you could see her tension there. Like, she doesn't want to talk to this guy. And I do understand that in that sense, but I think also to Lala's point and to some of the points that people were making at the end of the show of like, this is a reality show and there are some things that you don't want to have to deal with in front of people and on TV that you get paid to do. And this is what people want to see and what they want to watch. And at the end of the day, you're beholden to the producers that are like, hey, you can't go out like this. You have to do this scene. You have to be part of this. It's reality in a sense, but you're still a paid actor, actress of part of this group. So there's some of that, but it also, you got to remember the conversation that Sheena and Ariana were having right up at that point was whether Ariana's right or wrong about how she's dealing with her friends and the ultimatums. And the producer showed some of the hypocrisy of her saying, oh, I never said if you're friends with him, you can't be friends with me. And then it shows six examples of her being like, I'm going to cut everybody out. But Sheena bringing that up again to her and being like, oh, he's so sincere and all this stuff with the time. I'm sure the producers were nudging Tom at that time to like, hey, now get over there and let's finish this redemption arc. She wasn't wanting any part of it. It's hard for me to blame her and storming off. I don't know what the proper reaction is. The viewer in me wanted to see them have that out in the middle in front of everybody. And I think that's what everyone wanted to see. It did fall a little flat. It did seem a little diva-y. She should have addressed it. But yeah, it wasn't as big as they made it out to be. But also, again, to the producers and the way they filmed those trailers, the incidents, the conversations between Sheena and Tom weren't real spicy. Like, going into the season, I thought that end conversation with them in that room at that table was like gonna be a thing, and it was just like, oh no, I'm still your friend no matter what.
Yeah, to me this season finale ended up being more of like a setup for the reunion more than anything.
I think that's where knowing the spice about is to happen coming.
For sure. Based on what we're seeing, based on the tea, based on the rumors we're seeing. So looking forward to seeing that. But so with that said, we'll put a bookend on it. What we'll do is, my thinking is, we will you know, do our ratings and everything for tonight, and then we will let all the reunions go and do one last episode after the last reunion where we'll total everything.
I'm interested to see who won the season with our power rankings. That's the thing. Yes,
of course, the VPPRs, of course. With that said, this episode does fall a little flat for me overall on the episode score. So I'm going to give it a London Fletcher, a 5.9.
Okay.
5.9 out of 10. So still above average, not like bad. You know, you're still getting some in. I mean, like the areas for improvement are just obvious. You could have more drama in the situation that was mainly advertised. And I mean, Dan just fell as flat as fucking possible. I mean, like, talk about boring as fuck. Jesus.
Dud. He is a dud.
Milk dud. Milk dud.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little higher. I had it at 7.2. Mostly because
did Applebee's get a sponsorship on the episode, by the way? They mentioned it like four times.
Everybody's sponsoring Vanderpump, dude. Every commercial is a Vanderpump person commercial. So I'm assuming that there is a sponsorship in there too. But while it fell flat, and I agree, and I've been hard on the way they hyped it up, there was some intrigue to me of that it was breaking down the fourth wall a little bit of reality TV and showing some flashbacks into the previous seasons, some of the stuff that people have had to deal with on the show, and that her really avoiding that and that drama. And I do think that is what is going to present itself at the reunion. And I think those are the conversations that are going to be had. So kind of fishing it into the reunion. I'm also a big believer with all the Bravo television. I don't watch the Housewives stuff as much, but I catch some of it because my wife watches everything that Bravo puts out. But the reunions are still like, you have your season finale. The reunion is really the season finale, and that's where everything good happens when Andy sits down with everybody and gets some truth out.
You're so right. It's really more like this was really, especially with the three-part finales they do now, this was really the end of the regular season. This might as well have just been week 18. Like, you know what I mean? So for some, you know, meaningless, of course, for sure. Makes a lot of sense. With that said, I am still giving my poo-poo head of the night as I kick it off here. By the way, you want to get something not poo-poo, go to the local Picasso's by you anywhere in the burbs, multiple locations, best pizza in Western New York. If you're ordering for delivery, get Picasso's pizza at picassospizza.net. With that said, poo-poo head of the night. This is going to be a kind of a sleeper. You, I'm giving it to the producers. I was not a fan of the way that last segment went down. I felt like I was misled a little bit this season. And I think they kind of forced the Scandoval redemption arc. And they got what they wanted, but they forced it. They forced it at the end of the day to me.
That's a good one. And that's thinking outside the box. And I really like that. I still kind of went with Tom Sandoval here. I think that he still looks the worst. And at the end, when they put in that little like, oh, this worked out for me. And
that was unbelievable that they put that in.
Yeah, that's what everyone wanted on the show. And that it shows, I think Ariana really did also hit the nail on the head in this episode in her interview where she was like, he could have, if he was sincere and ever wanting to actually have an apology, there was so many ways in that type of situation. Like I've had to have really sincere apologies to people before. And it would be something where you like do leave a note or
you got to eat shit.
Yes, and for him to only want to do it when the cameras
shit on the show, really.
Yeah, only when the cameras are on. And even in that moment, like, he was kind of snapping back at Sheena again until she's about to start crying.
He was right ready to go after her again. He was like,
he was yelling at everyone.
He was trying to overwhelm her with all the facts. And she's like, Tom, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm already
and throwing Ariana under the bus again. Just be like, she hates all of you people, like, all this stuff. And he just lost his brain.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. That was a crazy move, for sure. And also, I might have had a kernel of truth, truthfully.
Oh, 100%. But so does he. That's the thing about all this. Like those conversations.
That's how he knows, because he was talking with her no more than a year ago about that shit. So
100%. Yeah. So I thought that he still comes off as the poo-poo head just because, you know, I've been hard on Ariana, but he did a terrible thing and she's right. And it's still soon. And he's trying to create this redemption arc and the producers are too, but she ain't ready for it.
She ain't ready for it. Speaking of which, let's get ready for our Vanderpump Power Rankings. So this will be the last of the season. We will give the updated tally and finale total at our reunion episode in a couple of weeks. But with that said, VPPRs for the finale episode, we rank our top five characters of the episode, 1 through 5. Fifth place gets 1 point. Fourth place gets 2 points. Third place gets 3 points. Second place gets 4 points. And first place gets 5 points. We total them up at the end of the season for our Vanderpump season champion. You got your list ready?
I got it. You ready?
Okay, fire away.
All right. Coming in fifth, still the number one man in the group, James Kennedy.
Okay.
Pouring his heart out to Allie. Her telling her she's not ready to get married yet, but when she is, it's going to be to James. And that was a beautiful moment. He didn't have a big role in this one, but he's had just such a powerful season. I couldn't leave him off. He's had so much growth. Number four, another guy that's had that really good trend is Brock. He's had a fantastic season. He still had super mature moments throughout this, standing up for his wife, but also telling Tom, like, come on, man, you got to like get better. You got to be better. Being Switzerland. He talked about it. He's been Switzerland this whole time. I love that. Number three, Schwartz. Even though he brought Joe into the Lions, then I felt like it came from a good place. I think he does care about her and wanted to see her try to broach that. And he was still doing the funny stuff. And he tried to stick up for Tom and get to put back in his place. It was classic Schwartz being Schwartz. And the top two here for me, I felt a little bit hypocritical listing both of them because it's a little yin and yang here. But I had number two, I had Ariana. Even though she took off and didn't give us what we wanted, I found myself nodding my head in agreement with her in most of all her interview segments. Like, yeah, she's right. Like, this is all a setup to get him a redemption. She's not down with it. She lost a little bit of points. I wanted to give her number one, but Dan is such a dud that I had to bring it back a little bit. He's a wet towel, man. And number one, I'm going with Lala. I think Lala has had an interesting season. She's shown some growth and she's sick of everybody's shit. Like
she steered the ship there at the end for the sure. They were ready. You know, she sat back kind of all season, and then when they were ready for an uprising, she kind of led the way against Ariana there. Or as far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
And we are going to see more of that in the reunion.
Oh yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay, so we did have a couple similars, but I also strayed away from you on a couple of them. So number five for me, Allie. She survived the season. She dominated the situation with James, and she also just told James that when she wants to get married, she'll marry him, and James is all excited. So she's just basically got James on a leash, and I say that with respect, but, you know, that's a powerful move. That's all I'll say. So more kudos.
She's got the number one guy in the group.
That's what I'm saying. She's got the number one guy in the group on her finger. So that said, she gets the five spot. Four, surprise, Joe survived this episode kind of like, you know, went into the Lions, then, like you said, may have gotten chewed up a little bit, but that's kind of like Vanderpump christening, is it not, to get yelled at multiple times in multiple parties? That not
all
happen
the other girls.
That not happen to Lala. Yes. So with that said, the horizon's looking good for Joe. Three, our guy Brock. Good season. Good mature season for him. Good episode again. Kind of just being, you know, that guy. So, you know, wore the gold to rep his girl. So kudos to him. Also was kind of brokering the in-between of Sandoval there. Regardless of the redemption arc, I still appreciate that.
Yeah.
Two, Schwartz stayed out of all the drama completely and just literally, like, you know, like the second Katie flared up, he's like, okay, I got you. You know, like stayed out of it entirely. So Schwartz was kind of scoring points in that way by staying out of it. And number one, you don't even have to be in the episode sometimes to be number one. When you can profit this much from a season and just keep printing money, doing your own thing over in some other network, Lisa Vanderpump at number one, just to make her close to James in my final tally. No, no show for James in my final top five and top for Lisa, which is not even the episode, which speaks to Lisa Vanderpump. Thank you for following along with us. Seriously, the power of the real queen. So like we said, we will be back in 3 weeks for our final episode. Thank you for following along on this 15 episodes.
Look at us.
Thank you. Look at us. Who would have thought it? Thank you for following along on the show where you can always listen with your husband or your mistress. Thank you very much and have a good night now.